pretty obvious that it isn't needed on LinkedIn. If you go, for instance, to one of the most secret bases we have in Albuquerque, Albuquerque almost has a highway that drives right through it, and you get a nice friendly wave and so forth. But don't try to get into anything else. But anyhow, the Marines had some very interesting things happen to them. On one occasion, while we were here, they had a sentry at a gate that was just on the other, just where the, on the road where the communication station is now. You're going off that road, you cross a bridge, you go up there maybe about a quarter of a mile into the antenna field, there was a sentry group there. And there was a sentry there one night, a man. And a man came through, and he said, "I just wanted to warn you." He said, "I ran into a bear up here, and I wounded it, and I couldn't find it. So you be on the lookout." So the man said, "Fine. Thanks." And the took off and went on through. And then, pretty quick, the alarm rang in the main guard on the base. And about all that the petty officer could get out of the sentry out at the bus camp was bear, bear, and the phone dropped. So they called out the whole Marine Guard.
Mind you, the CO told the story.
And they went charging out there in their vehicles. And they, as they approached the place, they found this sentry, and he was just charging down the road. He abandoned his post, his rifle, and everything, and he was running down the road frantically. And they stopped him, and all he could say was bear, bear. So they surrounded the whole sentry post, and they closed in, and they found one poor old lonesome horse. And what had happened was this young man, after being duly alarmed by this hunter in his bear story, had turned around and looked out the booth window in the booth, and he'd seen this animal, and it was a horse that had his nose pressed up against the window, and that's all there was.
He said all he could see was the whites of his eyes and the white of his teeth. He was one of the black boys, and he was just charging down that road.
But you see, there was quite an attraction. As you cross the Buskin Bridge going into just past the airport now, off to the right as you go up to, there's a long building. That building used to be numbered E711. And behind that building was the air, was the earth-filled area. That's where all of the trash and garbage and everything else was dumped. And a great many times, there were just some real choice things that animals would like. For instance, all of the residue of bones and scraps from the butcher shop and the messes and so forth would be just dumped out there. And in those days, there wasn't a great attempt like we do today to cover that. I mean, it would just be dumped out there. And one day, one night, there was, I guess you'd call them a herd, I don't know, if you'd call about seven or eight bear a herd, invaded the dump. And they had quite a time with them. They called out the Marines, and which they probably shouldn't have done. But they came out, and they killed all but about two and wounded them. and finally they had to get a professional hunter, and he's still alive, Johnny Morton, right out here. And Johnny went out with somebody else and finally tracked down the two wounded bear and killed them. But when we hear stories about bear in Nimitz Park, and we hear story about bears by Boy Scout Lake, this isn't anything new. There are probably more bears seen people than people have seen bear out through there.
I think the best story, though, is the one Dean told last year when he was here. Dean Jones, a PA that we had, and he was telling about when the bear came on the base. Dean lived in where you, the cab, you turn to go down the captain's quarters here, and you go up this way to what is known as government. It used to be known as civilian hill, because that's where all these civil service civilians lived for 30 years or more. Anyway, he lived in the first little house on the left-hand side as you went up the hill. And he and Barbara had heard this noise and looked out, and there was a bear at the back door. Well, the bear walked around to the front of the house, walked across the street, and was headed down towards the captain's quarters. Well, when he walked across the street, instead of going down the hill this way, he turned around and back down the hill. I asked Dean, I said, why didn't you take a picture of it instead of just talking about it? Because he had all of his photography equipment. He said, I didn't even think about it. He said, I was so fascinated watching this bear turn around and back down the hill instead of walking down.
I think probably one of the funniest bear stories told by a man by the name of John Powell. No relation to the actor of years gone by. John was a supply officer at ADAC, and he always hunted alone, and he hunted just about everything he could think of to hunt on Alaska during his period of duty. So he decided he wanted a Kodiak bear. So he flew into Kodiak, and he went out. And these days you didn't have to take a guide, you could just go off and so he was down toward Carlin somewhere, and he ran into this hunter who had a group of clients, and he asked him where was a fairly decent place to find a bear, and the hunter said, oh, that way, and described the area to go. So John went on up, and he was walking along. And sure enough, up on the side of the hill, he saw this bear stand up behind some salmon berry bushes. And the bear looked all around and fell down again. And John said, boy, to himself, I've got my bear. So he raised his rifle in the general direction, and the bear stood up again. And before he could pull the trigger, the bear dropped down again. So John waited a while, and the bear stood up again. But this time the bear was off just a little bit to the left. And again, John didn't get a good shot. So he waited, and the bear stood up again. This time, the bear apparently was moving, because he stood up a little bit to the right. This time, John shot, the bear fell down, and then all of the four bears stood up. John didn't even bother to see whether he killed the bear. He beat a hasty retreat back to down the hill, and he ran into this professional, and then the professional said, well, we'll go see. So he took him and his clients all back, and all of the professionals got bear that day.
But you know, Jim was saying how when we first came here, we lived over on what is now known as Thorshavn. And at that time it was North Boulevard. And just up where Fir Terrace is, and where you start up Thor Mountain, there's a reservoir right there. Well, there used to be, the reservoir was there, and there was a gate across the road. Ed Dodges, who was a
supply.
And the commander lived across the street from him. And he and his dog were going hunting one Sunday morning. And he left, and pretty soon we heard this yank, 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 and here comes the dog down, with his tail between his legs. And he is just hell-bent for election. He wanted to get out of there right now. And then pretty soon here comes Ed. Well, he got up to the gate, and there was a bear standing on the other side. Right there. I mean, that's how close it was. And he's like the dog. Put his tail between his legs, and he went running.
And Ed Dorchester's dog was a big St. Bernard.
Oh.
And when we lived in Lucian Homes, as Billy said, we lived up higher up on the hill. And down about where the police station is now, there was a bakery. And it was not a bakery. And even today, it bakes the finest Russian rye bread and Russian yeast bread around anywhere. But anyway, they had the family bakery there, and we figured out pretty quick. We had a big sled for the kids, and we had all the kids tucked in. And before the bakery closed, we'd go up the hill, and I'd go all the way up the top. Billy would be about 50 yards down. I'd belly flop and come on down. She'd pile on, and we could go all the way down to North Bakery. So we've been doing this for quite some time. Then we knew Ed Dodges, and his dog's name was Princess or something of the sort. And I petted the dog, friendly old St. Bernard, I thought. But anyhow, I was wearing a down parka. I had the sled. Walked up the hill, Billy stopped where she usually did. And I went all on top of the hill, and here was this big old St. Bernard just sitting there, you know. And I spoke to the dog, and I turned around, hopped on the sled, and just about the time Billy piled on, I felt this tug at my boot.
And I kicked
her, and I said, "Stop picking." And another tug, and I rolled off the sled, and unceremoniously, and I rolled her off too. And got up and turned around, and he was a silly dog, and he had bitten all the way through my boot, half an inch into my calf. A friend of mine.
There.
I think that's the only construction I could make was I went up the hill, and I had this big old parka on, and he thought probably I was a bear, or at least I wasn't friendly.
So when we got down to the bakery, we got everything we needed, and we were about to leave,
and
he came in.
The doctor came
and Tim told me what happened.
Said, "Hey, look."
No explanation, but it was just nothing.
Ed was sorry. Nothing, and there was no problem that he left.
I was going to see if there was, I think we've gone round the bush here quite a bit. Is there any?
Not only round the bush, considerably far.
I'm sure we'll think of a thousand.
I'm going to turn this off right now.
You know,
I think we've